It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig, my friend. How are you? Dr. Craig,
I don't know. Good morning, Earl. I'm talking to you from New Mexico.
Oh, really?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's, why New Mexico? Vacationing? There apparently must be some delay. So while we work to see Calvin to see if we can get that work out.
Can you hear me now, Earl?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me, Earl?
Yes, sir. Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, sorry, I muted myself. Calvin was able to tell me that I muted myself, so I apologize. Well, no. I'm in New Mexico for a retreat of...
Are you?
Can you still hear me, Earl?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Let me ask you. Everything straight now? Calvin, can you work on that while I... let's take Mike from Kenosha. While we work on trying to get Dr. Craig hooked up. Hey, good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Hope you are as well.
Oh, anytime I get a chance to be on the air, man, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about this, the weapons that have crossed the border. You had brought up Fast and Furious as investigation to where they actually tracked a couple thousand weapons. Well, they had another investigation before that. It was called Wide Receiver, believe it or not. And it showed pretty much exactly what Fast and Furious revealed, and that is the amount of gun activity coming from, originating from these arms dealers into Mexico was over the top alarming. Both Fast and Furious and Wide Receiver revealed that. Then what happened was the Dickey Amendment, 1996, somehow made it difficult for the CDC to do any investigations on violence and crime in regards to the guns. We didn't see too many more investigations after. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, I heard something in the background.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, they haven't been able to sound the alarm for years about this kind of lack of tracking guns and really the power that the gun lobby has in restricting the information to find its way through so we can even make heads or tails and tie the arms industry along with all these drug cartels. So they are connected at the hip. And
so I don't, Calvin, is that...
That is...
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
When we have a military-based economy, they must... this military-industrial complex must turn over their inventory on a regular basis to survive. We now have over 1,000 private security firms that act like mercenaries for proxy wars across the globe. Dozens and dozens of these wars are going on today, and we don't even know about it. And it's much of it is because the arms industry has made it very prohibitive. The information doesn't find its way to the American people for because of a lot of mechanisms that put in between us and the truth. So until we regulate the profits from war in the weapons industry specifically, and get some accountability and transparency on the table here, they're going to be wagging the dog for a long time, my friend.
Hey, Mike.
Let me chime in.
Always. Thank you very much for always listening. Dr. Craig, we got you.
I can hear you good, Earl. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. All right. We're all set.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Let me ask you, because I couldn't wait to have my conversation with you today for two things. The Republicans at the state level, Dr. Craig, as I've been listening to them, are really worried about the maps and the changes and these new maps and the impact that these new maps are going to be having on the election. And they're scurrying around. And now I understand why they were so terrified. I think we're going to start to see some major changes in what happens at the state legislature, incrementally, maybe this first time around, but clearly the change is in process.
There's a huge opportunity for that, Earl. Obviously, maps are not destiny. Having fair elections means you still have to win elections, and people have to be inspired to vote. People have to get out and do the work. But you're right. We've had no democracy at the legislative level for 14 years. And things have been normalized, Earl, where I say that, and that's not even a controversial question. It should be. Quite frankly, Wisconsin from 1848 to 2010 had fair elections where the party that had the most popular support would generally get control of the state legislature. And now that it was not the case for 14 years. So we have had this authoritarianism. It's called democratic autocracy because there were the form of elections, but they had no impact on the ultimate balance of power. And we've had our public policy therefore distorted by a minority of the state. So the opportunity is here. The maps could have been even better. Governor Evers should not have compromised with himself, because as a result, the Senate really cannot change hands this cycle. It would have to be in 2 years, but the Assembly could, which would be a sea change. And if the Assembly changes hands, then the powerful budget writing committee, the Joint Finance Committee, has an even split, which means the Republicans no longer just decide what their budget is and just hold it no matter what the public position was, which has been, it's been jarring, Earl, to see the public hearings and all of the public outreach that's all on one side, so say for Badgeker expansion, for much more sweeping and fair funding of our schools, just for example. And the results have been the opposite because they didn't have to listen to the people. So they were terrified of that, which says a lot about them. How much, Earl, courage of your own convictions do you have if you think the only way you can win is to rig the game? It suggests that you somehow think you're right. You have a right to impose yourself upon everyone else without making a case to them. That is just the most fundamentally undemocratic thing, un-American thing I can imagine.
You know, Dr. Craig, in all that I've been reading and listening to, they are terrified. They are now competing against one another. They're now where they had these seats and they were comfortable and safe. They now are running against one another, Dr. Craig, and forcing others are retiring because they know that now they're not going to be able to sustain those seats. So I said incrementally, we'll see some changes this time around. But next time around, as you stated, it only comes through the vote. But next time around, Democrats could wind up in control of the state government.
And there's a question of which Democrats. Democrats, they're willing to take on our state's problems, those ones that are more fearful and therefore don't want to take on sources of power like the Hospital Association, which is causing this monopolization of huge, massive creation of monopolies in hospitals, which is reaping havoc across the state, closures. There'll be more to come, both clinics and major hospitals, and escalating prices. So what's interesting, Earl, is, and I won't give away particular names, we've had at least two instances I can think of where we're hearing on the ground from local Democrats that, oh, this is a really scary situation, even though this new seat that's been created is mostly Democratic. There's some young progressive running for the seat, and he or she doesn't have opposition, and they'll lose to the Republican in the general. In both those cases, the fearful Republican incumbent that they were afraid of has declined to run for election. So it's showing that they didn't think they could win, but they have in some cases put more moderate opponents, much older opponents in to try to make sure that these supposedly unelected young progressives can't win. We actually needed a breath of fresh air in the legislature. We need more young people, more diversity, so that we get fresh ideas. We start challenging the problems of today. So right now we're in the primary situation. The question is, who will be the Democratic candidates in these competitive seats?
So Dr. Craig,
before we get to who wins now.
So Dr. Craig, are the Democrats seeking candidates? Are they going out and instead of people just volunteering to run? I mean, that's what the Republicans do. They go out and they pick a person and they say, we want you to run. Are the Democrats doing that?
In some cases, they're picking good candidates and urging them to run. In other cases, they don't like the options. They think they're too young, too radical. And so they're actually finding primary opponents. That's the part I'm calling out. And they've been often wrong because their argument has been that this young candidate can't win, but then the Republican incumbent will drop out of the race, showing that it was all a canard and they just didn't like the fact that someone who wanted to do something like really, really fund public education, not just increase it a few percentage points, was going to be on the ballot and likely elected. So right now we're involved in some cases. We are backing a progressive candidate who's opposed by the Democratic establishment. In some cases, we're aligned with the Democrats. It depends on which district and which group of candidates.
All right, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, all the way from New Mexico this morning. Hang on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. He's all the way in New Mexico this morning, but he's still here. And I'm thank God for, what is this, StreamYard? Whatever that is. I'm still struggling. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. Dr. Craig. One thing I want to make everyone aware of, and I'm sure you do as well, is as the Republicans start seeing that they have a little bit of competition, you're going to start hearing them talk more about bipartisanship and how all the Democrats need to be more bipartisan. They're going to start to put in different types of ideas of laws that, hey, can't we all just get along, and why can't the Democrats get along? Also, I truly believe that if the Democrats run on an FDR agenda, which is about a return on investment, which is about infrastructure, which is about building this country for the middle class. It doesn't matter where you are in the country. If you can get people out of their factions and actually get them to vote on policy, you'll actually win elections. I just want to know what you think about that, especially the part where Republicans are going to start saying, let's be more bipartisan. Remember, bipartisan means both parties are bought off by the same people right now.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for those poignant, words. Go ahead, Dr. Craig.
I think Tom's right. And for the current MAGA-dominated Republican Party, bipartisan means when they're in control, do what we want. Bipartisan means if the other party is in control, do what we want. In other words, there's one message. And so, but you're right, and they set traps. This is why Democrats, the whole party, needs to get more strategically sharp. I don't mean there are plenty of strategically sharp people within the party, but I'm talking about as a whole system and a group. They will offer these bipartisan kind of Trojan horses. Let's say if the Democrats pick up the state assembly, that will be full of poison pills that actually will have little things that make sure you don't hold the big for-profit utilities accountable for promoting renewable energy transition and decommissioning fossil fuel plants and enabling energy conservation. So we need less burning of fossil fuel. And they'll sound like they're good bills and they'll have some things in them. And this has been the kryptonite of Governor Evers. His brand is so much bipartisan compromise. There's this tendency to embrace compromise when it's not in his interest, when he doesn't need to do it, and when it harms the public interest, so he can claim he got a bipartisan compromise. So I think Tom speaks to a real danger. We need a bottom line, and we have to understand who we're bargaining against. Earl, you probably saw the excellent article, kudos to the Journal Sentinel for having this, that apparently increased funding for nursing,
yes,
nursing school,
yes,
there's a shortage of nurses, was not done by this legislature because they were unsatisfied that their stipulations on diversity, equity, inclusion weren't met, which is apparently not having any. They wanted to know every nursing school's whether they gave points for diversity. This is a situation when we know that people who are non-white have worse health outcomes if there aren't more people like themselves delivering the care. We need more diversity. The nursing schools know we need it. What your policy was on pronouns, this is of the nursing schools, and what were your diversity statements? And apparently they didn't pass muster because they did not fund increased nurse education when there's a huge shortage of nurses.
You know, Dr.
So that's what we're dealing with.
It is absolutely, you know, insanity. But let me go here, because I've been thinking about if Donald Trump wins, Donald Trump will have an opportunity, possibly, Dr. Craig, to appoint two additional Supreme Court justices. Clarence Thomas is 75. Samuel Alito is 74. Donald Trump, the Republicans have Neil Gorsuch, a Republican, basically 56 years old. Brett Kavanaugh, a Republican, 59 years old. John Roberts, 69 years old. Elena Kagan, 64 years old. It's possible that 6-3 outcome right now on the United States Supreme Court, Dr. Craig, could possibly change even more. Let me ask you, if Donald Trump gets to appoint even a couple more Supreme Court justices who will probably be even more conservative than Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, if he becomes the president of the United States again, should there be any concern from your perspective of what could possibly happen, Dr. Craig, if Donald Trump becomes president of the United States?
There should be tremendous concern, given that right-wing judges have turned the judges into legislators who are amending our Constitution. There is another, it's not in the Constitution, another apparently amendment process that's much more efficient, and that is right-wing judges just deciding the Constitution means something different than it ever meant in its entire history. And so you have this terrible situation that they could further just create a right-wing constitution that prevents everything the majority wants, everything the public and this country needs to thrive and prosper, everything that's needed for a multiracial democracy through these judges. So they're playing hardball and for keeps. Democrats need to do the same. One is to understand the stakes of this election, and you're right, you could end up with a 8-1 right-wing Republican majority, and the worst kind, right? The kind like Alito, who just, he had nothing to do with the upside down flag, the symbol of insurrection after January 6th flying outside his house, and no need for him or Clarence Thomas to recuse themselves on this, even though they are completely compromised as being impartial in any way, shape, or form. So, but the other thing is, Democrats, even now, the Supreme Court's been stolen. It's a 6-3 very far right-wing majority when Democrats have won 7 of the 8 last presidential elections at the popular vote level. And no, that is not conceived by the founders of the Electoral College. The Electoral College is an appendix. It was designed for something completely different. It was not designed to create minority rule. And they've used it that way, and then they've abused their power by stealing two appointments in the U.S. Senate. We need to be open to Democrats expanding the court. There is no set number, and limiting its jurisdiction, something Congress can do.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. The phone lines are open. I hang on the lines. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, on the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK in Waukesha. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than my good friend, Executive Director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig. He's coming to us all the way from New Mexico this morning. Dr. Craig's got to be a little warm there, huh?
It was fairly shocking. It was over 80 when I landed yesterday, Earl. So it's semi-arid, so it gets cooler at night. So it's, what is it? I was going to say it's 60s, but it's already higher than that.
I was about to say one thing we know for sure, it will be warming up. Let's go to the phone lines and Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you for listening. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl, but... I hate to have you brace yourself, but I am 100% positive that the evil behind the Project 2025 is going to do whatever it takes to get Donald Trump elected simply because of those two judges you talked about previous to the break.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Cindy?
They're certainly going to go all out. The question is whether our side can go all out. Project 2025 is a plan that the whole right-wing billionaire, right-wing organization infrastructure, the NRA, the anti-abortion movement, the anti-gay rights movement, etc., has been working on for a long time. they would try to impose it right now on any Republican president who's elected in 2024. With Trump, they have a willing partner. It's a 900-page plan. It's all up. The Heritage Foundation is hosting the project. It's all in plain sight. And every single section you look at is bracing. It is all the elements of moving to an authoritarian society. And yes, they will stop at nothing. And so, but our side is divided. And that's what we need to figure out. And we have too many people who think they don't have a stake. And the problem is learning you have a stake afterwards. It's much harder to get back your democracy than it is to protect it and safeguard it in the first place.
Let's go to Bill from O'Connell Walk. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, Earl, I think you've got the solution to everything we're talking about. You brought it up a couple weeks ago. I enacted it, and it's working beautifully. And it's real simple with working or talking to the other side. I've sent out blogs and messages and emails, and they go like this. Trump or Biden, who has the best record? Let's be honest. Now, if we're honest, Biden is just snow Trump every inch of the way. But I don't need to hear that to myself. I'm preaching to the choir and you guys. The other side needs to hear it. So let's talk about what Trump accomplished or what Biden accomplished. Earl, you nailed it a couple weeks ago. If we go that route, Biden's in, and all this Heritage Foundation and NRA, they're going to be neutralized for one reason. Our core values, our people in office right now knows what the rule of law is and abides by it. The other side chooses not to. They lose an election and they kill people and they threaten. Well, trust me, we might have some civil action, I really believe. But if they follow your plan, Earl, Biden will be a shoo-in.
Well, Bill, I wish it was that easy, but thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, this is going to just be a dogfight all the way to the end, right? I mean, it nobody can predict the outcome as we sit here now. And I don't know, the more you listen to the different those projections or where people say that they, you know, Biden's behind by this. I'm having the
polling.
Yeah, the polling. The more you listen to the polling, you can get discouraged and believe that this is over, right? I mean, come on.
Well, the polling's having an independent influence on elections because it's cheap for media to do, and then they, rather than talking about the deeper issues like what's in the Project 2025 plan, they simply do this horse race analysis, and the polls have been wildly inaccurate since 2016. So they're not, because fewer and fewer people are answering them, and their sample sizes are becoming small, and they have a terrible time measuring people's actual motivation and what they'll actually vote on as opposed to what issues they claim they're interested in. It's going to be close because we have this ridiculous setup with the Electoral College where the popular vote is the electoral vote. And so therefore it comes down to a handful of states, Wisconsin being one of the leaders of it. So we have more democratic agency, that means responsibility, here in Wisconsin than in other states, than in Illinois, for example, that is going to be blue, and Iowa, which is going to be red, most likely. And so, yes, that it seems like from everything we know, Earl, that this is a real scenario, and people have, because we have a polluted communication environment where people don't actually get facts, even if they're interested in hearing them, there's all this mythology about Trump's economic performance, like Trump knows the first thing about managing an economy. It's an absurd proposition. The man is entirely unqualified and unfit for office. And anything that might happen good under his regimes is an accident. But he's a reality show, charismatic kind of figure and star. And his brand is attacking those that a large number of Americans think are their enemies. And therefore, it's like World Wrestling, letting World Wrestling Federation stuff, where you're just bloviating against the other side and calling them names, and this is called entertainment. And so I just think that this is the fact that this is even possible shows how much democracy is at risk, right? A healthy democracy wouldn't even entertain a candidate like this, and in 2016 or in 2024.
You know, Dr. Craig, the more we get closer to this, you know, voter ID system is secure despite conspiracy theories. People are still talking about we're not going to accept the outcome. There are state legislators, Republicans, who are saying we're not going to accept the outcome of the elections. Your thoughts, just because people say, I don't feel comfortable, I don't trust the system, why are we reacting in the manner that we're reacting to respond to people who say they have no proof, but I feel like? I mean, that's never been done before, Dr. Craig, so you change everything because people say, this is how I feel. They've got no facts to back anything up. Why are we moving to respond to people based on their whims? Well, we got to understand, Earl, people feel that way. A guy called the other day and says, well, there's 70,000 of us who don't, 70 million of us who don't agree and who don't. Well, so what? So 70,000 of you don't feel like things are right. Why are we responding to 70,000 people based on how they feel and no facts?
Well, our system
70 million people.
Our system is based on the liberal value that voters are honestly assessing reality, the world that exists, their lives, how government policy impacts it, what they would like to see democracy do, and using their values to sort out what they would support. But this, our system can't cope with a very illiberal situation where people feel that way because it's become an article of faith for their side. It's become, I believe in God, I believe in the flag, and I believe the election was stolen. And I believe that if we don't win the election, the future elections will be stolen. So that isn't about meeting them halfway, about some reasoned argument, about putting in more safeguards, make them feel comfortable. As long as Donald Trump won't accept defeat, which he's constitutionally incapable of doing, then they will agree as long as he says it. He is naming the tune, the Pied Piper here, and they're marching to it. So this is not, and there's such cynicism. So many Republicans and commentators have said, well, people are concerned about this, so it's an issue. You lied to them and made it a concern and repeated it over and over again. And now my side says it's true, their side says it isn't, and there are no facts. And it's not like most people are in a position to actually understand voting and how secure it is or is not, right? Our side is believing its side. It's just that our side is actually fact-based on this.
Yeah, 30 years ago, Dr. Craig, that notion would be laughed at. 50 years ago, no one would have the courage to even say that. But today, that's acceptable, an acceptable practice. What is it going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if we don't, in the words of Archie Bunker, nip it in the bud while we have a chance? Hey, Dr. Craig, I'm quoting Archie Bunker, by the way. You know,
he turned out to be a more popular figure than Norman Lear intended, famously.
But if we don't find a way to put a stop to this fiction, it's going to destroy the republic. And I don't know how
we have to win, unfortunately. And so, you know, we have a whole lot of people who think climate change is not a real thing, despite the unbelievable international consensus of actual climate scientists. So we could say, well, a lot of people disagree, and so therefore we shouldn't do anything. That's not ethical when you're looking down the barrel of environmental calamity and destabilizing human civilization, causing death and mayhem at a level we we can't imagine, given the number of people that live on planet Earth right now. So it's the same thing, right? The idea that somehow white middle-class people are the oppressed group in our society and the group that is under siege, or that Christians are, right? That Christianity is under siege. This has become an anti-Christian country. All of this stuff, we have to mobilize our folks, convince some of the wishy-washy middle, and win elections, and then actually achieve things for the American people. But at this point, it is a snake, Earl, in that you have to cut off the head. And the head of this conspiracy right now is Donald Trump and the billionaires that are behind him that have been working for this for 50 years, the right-wing billionaires, right? And the various right-wing groups, the evangelical Christian groups, the anti-abortion, the anti-gay, the pro-gun, that are behind him. And they've been around for a long time. He stepped into it. But there's you can't have an argument with people who won't have an actual discussion of facts. And our actual propagandists are just about holding power and saying anything in order to get their way, to divide. They're very good at dividing our side and unifying and mobilizing their side. That's all it is. We need to win by ethical means, because our side is the pro-democracy side. It means our work's harder, Earl. That's why we have to have these conversations, though, why civic media is so important.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday. That means always a great conversation with my good friend, Executive Director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig, and you.
At night, when the bars close down, Brandy walks through a silent town and loves a man who's not around. She still can hear him say, she hears him say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be.
Such a fine girl.
But my life, my love, and my lady is the same. Yeah, 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 yeah. Brandy, you're a fine.
Chaka, hooka, 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 chaka, hooka.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.
Down a feeling, I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesdays. That means Wednesdays with none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, let's do this. Let's go to Gary from Sussex quickly. Gary, you say what?
You know, I've been listening all morning. You know, the New York Times had a survey, or they had an article, actually, and they wanted to know what the difference between a Republican and a Democrat is. And what it was Republicans are more happy. They're more satisfied how the country is. They're just, they don't have the worries like the Democrats do. Why is that? Well, I need to know why you guys are so worried about things that the whole world's going to fall apart if Donald Trump gets elected. Question for Dr. Craig.
Dr. Craig, did you hear him?
Yeah. So good question. That's longer than we have on the show. But let me just say that the caller should read the summaries over the entire 900 pages of Project 2025, where it's very clear that he's going to remove the fundamental mechanisms of democracy. He's going to politicize the Justice Department to go after his enemies. and do what he's been accusing Biden of and Biden's not been doing, that is weaponizing the Department of Justice. He's not behind the prosecutions of Donald Trump. They're going to reverse the historic investments President Biden made in climate, and more needs to be done, which is going to guarantee that we have runaway climate change, that the increase is not 1.5 to 2 degrees Celsius, which is still very destabilizing, but 3, 3.5, 4 degrees, which is going to lead to billions of people being threatened with death and large parts of the earth being uninhabitable. It's that bad. So I think that's a fairly good reason. He's going to reverse. He has promised to repeal the Affordable Care Act. We need to go beyond the Affordable Care Act because healthcare is entirely unaffordable and getting worse. It's hyperinflation, much worse than everywhere else. I could go on and on, Earl. On every issue, up or down, he has nothing for the American people. He has mostly solutions, muscular solutions to problems that are not problems in our society or manageable problems if we would actually address them root and branch. Let me say one thing about immigration. Climate change is going to increase 10, 20, 30-fold the number of people who are trying to immigrate coming from the global south, the global north, because their areas become uninhabitable. They did not put the carbon in the atmosphere. The United States put a quarter of all the carbon in the atmosphere into it because of our massive industrialization starting in the late 19th century. And so, but the people who are going to be affected are going to come from the global south, from Central America, South America, Mexico. And this is going to metastasize right-wing movements that will blame them, dehumanize them, that you're already seeing. So if you think immigration is a crisis now, it is actually a very manageable situation if we'd actually just do it. But it's going to be much worse under climate change. So I just say, I've only scratched the surface, Earl. We won't have women's control of their reproductive choices, obviously, just for an obvious example. We won't have the equality for LGBTQ plus people that we've achieved in the last decade and a half. It reverses so much, and it will victimize and villainize and call vermin so many of our fellow Americans. It will weaken our country. It will make us, it just weaken us and damage us at a level that's unfathomable.
You know, Dr.
So I don't know if the caller's still on, if you'd like to give some positive arguments on behalf of President Trump's agenda.
You know, Dr. Craig, he made the statement, blanket statement, that Republicans are happier, Democrats are not as happy. And so when people make statements, blanket statements, that they can't back up, it is part of what I think Dr. Craig is the problem. Gary, quickly, go ahead. Go ahead, Gary, quickly.
I'm just saying that this was a New York Times poll that they had, and they just wrote an article. I am a Republican. I'm only speaking for myself. I am very happy. I love America just like you guys do. And no matter who the president of the United States is, it's not going to cause all the problems and cause starvation, and the planet's going to blow up. No, we're going to survive. And you guys need to have a little bit more, faith in our politicians.
A little more faith in a man?
Well, the fact is, Donald Trump, up until the pandemic, he was very popular.
Okay.
He made America.
Gary, I wish I had more time, but we don't. Dr. Craig, what do you want to say in closing?
I just say I thank Gary for calling and appreciate his perspective. Let me just say, I do think there are consequences. And I understand his position that sometimes people in political environments overstate stakes and consequences. I think we are in a moment of consequence. But I'd further say, if Republicans, I haven't read the poll Gary's referring to, but if Republicans are so satisfied and happy about the country, why a candidate that mostly is about grievance and about blaming other people and hating and vilifying them? Listen to any Trump hour-long performance. It doesn't match up with what that polling says. It suggests a very different electorate is being appealed to than the one Gary just described.
Dr. Craig, have a safe, you know, time in New Mexico, and look forward to seeing you when you get back next Wednesday. All right, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Couldn't have done it without you. We'll be back on tomorrow, and we'll be in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar. You know, up next, Jane Matinere and Greg Bach, Matinere on Air. Have a great day. See you later.